So, Marissa, what do you do?
I am the CEO of Her Healthy Q. I'm also the founder.
Well, tell us more about it. What do you do as the founder and CEO?
I mean, I just got back from Ghana deploying, literally last Friday, deploying screening and testing equipment for cervical cancer screening. We have equipment that's about to ship out portable ultrasounds for maternal health to Mexico. So we deploy medical equipment for women's health and CDs. So, and we focus on maternal health, cancers that affect women, such as breast cancer and cervical cancer and heart disease. And we sometimes repurpose equipment, sometimes it's new equipment, sometimes it's older versions of equipment, and we get it to the countries and locations that need it when we're ridiculously spoiled and there's a scratch on it or a color change and nobody cares.
This is like the second guest we've had in a row that make at least me feel completely meaningless, but I guess that's the series of this podcast.
Well, absolutely. We should have gone into IP law.
We're interviewing people that help the world, and we're just kind of
not lawyers.
Just slobbing on. Yeah, that's right.
Well, we got to ask more.
So in that regard, so Marissa, you had a trip to Ghana. There were colposcopes and examination tables and stirrups and all the things that you would need for a million patients that clinic was serving?
So our coverage area in both Accra and Cape Coast, and we actually donated to 10 different clinics. It's a coverage area of about 3.2 million women.
Wow.
Colposcopes aren't used on every single exam, but when there's an area of suspicion, you need to actually see what you're looking at.
Amazing.
We did not do the tables because those were already there and different conditions. But we have a coverage area of about 3.2 million just in the 10 clinics that we've donated to. Some of them were mobile colposcopes, some of them are in clinic. So it's great because then they can actually take them out to other areas. And we had a few clinicians and sites that actually came to some of these more central locations to receive them, and then they had to travel back another 5 hours to they're located.
I have a simple comment. Brody beat that.
Go ahead, Brody.
Just remember that he's a kid.
Warm it up here, Brody.
Envision MedTech focuses on the pediatric side. So when a baby's born, their heart is the size of a walnut.
Like Mark's brain.
Very specific devices and equipment that are required to treat a patient with that small anatomy. So what we do is we provide underserved populations with the necessary pediatric devices to treat those rare conditions. So I was born with a congenital heart defect. So, and CHD is the most common birth defect in the world. One out of 110 are born with it. So we want to give clinicians the ability to perform those perform those patients that have those rare conditions.
Amazing. So amazing.
That's incredible. So and he's 17.
I was gonna ask you your why, Brody, but thank you for teeing that up for us.
So wait a minute, do you instruct them, Brody? Do you actually instruct them on the procedures?
Yep, so I go in the OR, tell them exactly how to...
Real sense of humor.
So I think it's fair to say that unlike the IP lawyer at the end of the table, you two are doing God's work.
Yeah.
And I'm not even a religious guy, but it's all I can think of.
Incredible.
I mean, it's mission work. Like, it's heart
Congrats.
Work.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I'm also the CEO of a medtech company, which is wonderful, but... The mission work is more important.
Wait a minute, we didn't get Brody. You obviously said you do train them in the operating room, but we had to assume you were joking. So what do you actually do?
So we do provide the clinicians with the pediatric equipment. So when I was there in Honduras, I was also sharing my story to the patients and the parents of the patients. So that's my secondary part of my work. So I was enabled to support them with the devices and equipment, but I was also able to share my personal story and deliver hope in that way.
Solely, it's like, look at me. I made it through. This, I'm not making a joke, by the way.
Yeah.
That's really outstanding.
That they have hope.
Yeah.
Brody, where do you go from here? You got to pace yourself, buddy. You're running a marathon here. How do you plan to grow this over time? And this is a nonprofit for you and you're 17. Where do you want to go from here?
So, of course, I do have college next year. I definitely want to continue this on a business perspective. We're going to continue supporting a great, now friend, almost family of ours at Helping Hands for Honduras. They performed those pediatric heart surgeries in Honduras. They do them for free. The public health system there is quite bad, so they're able to do those missions to people who can't afford them or wouldn't have access to, wouldn't have the technology. And actually, they even fly in clinicians because people there aren't used to seeing this baby with a super rare congenital heart defect like truncus arteriosus, even stenosis. If I were to give you like a level here, 1 to 10, that they can only do on these missions level 6 procedure. So I was born with a very rare congenital heart defect called truncus arteriosus. That's a 1 out of 10,000. They probably wouldn't have been able to perform my procedure just because of the skill and the technology. So I want to provide them with the technology, and the clinicians, they would have to, of course, bring in. But what we want to do, or what I want to do in the future so far, is we want to endorse this team, Helping Hands for Honduras. We want to completely support them with medical equipment 100% until we move on to different areas.
Wow.
So that way we can ensure we have a great relationship with them. They're great people. We love working with them. And we want to keep helping there until we have enough equipment and we establish a good pipeline to expand our help elsewhere.
So, Marissa, can you ask him a question?
Well, I'm going to ask him a question first, just because it's in my head and I'll forget it. Where are you going to school next year?
I have not. Well, I haven't applied yet. I've applied to two Florida schools, but there's a lot of schools on the roster. Purdue is a big one. But UF and Purdue are kind of my top schools.
And who is the Florida schools? You just so you can give him a heads up that you're taking over.
We can get you in really easily.
I think he's going to get himself in.
Yeah.
But Brody, I
think like Harvard and MIT would eat this guy up.
Yeah, it's becoming more and more frequent that young people like yourself, Brody, have impressed the heck out of me. But I admire what you're doing. This is incredible work. Marissa, how did you get started in this?
I had no intention of starting a nonprofit. I kind of fell into it. I'm an engineer. I solve problems. I moved down to Costa Rica with a very large company.
Sure.
And from my perspective, I just launched the 3D mammography system. We had the 2D systems coming back. You know, we were throwing the old ones in the garbage. And a friend of mine in Costa Rica said, women are dying of breast cancer because their mammogram machine broke down. And I said, that's so ridiculous. I have them against the factory wall.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, let me get you one. Super naive because, you know, moving large pieces of equipment in between countries is not the easiest thing to do. but it was the idea. And I started an entire CSR and giving back program for a very now large multinational. And it just got me thinking about what else we could, you know, repurpose, what other areas there are. From my perspective, listen, I'm a woman. As an engineer, I've always been interested in STEM. It's really important to me for girls to go to school.
Yeah.
And girls don't go to school in developing countries because their mothers, their sisters, their grandmothers, their aunts are, you know, incapacitated or dead because of these very simple, you know, what we think are treatable and simple diseases. And I found that ridiculous because the girls get pulled out of school first.
Yep.
To me, it's just a fairness, aside. I'm not an educator. I can't fix the education system, but the healthcare system, I can fix.
What would you ask? You and Brody both sort of do the same thing.
Yes, very much so.
So you could have an inside baseball discussion with Brody. What would that be? And can you start it?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think every nonprofit has to have their niche, and his is obviously in, you know, pediatric heart. Ours is very much only in women's health and women in NCDs. So I think it's also trying to figure out where the synergies are, where the...
Well, ask him.
I mean, Brody, how can we help you? We've been doing this for about 8 years, and we're happy to help. Obviously, I have nothing to do with pediatrics, but, you know...
But does the... disease type or the age group, does it really matter? Are you providing mostly, you know, logistics and know how to transport old
crap?
Yeah,
I think it's more what you said before. I mean, how do you get things in and out of the
But cervical cancer obviously is not affecting babies, thank God.
Yeah.
Holding aside the diagnosis or whatever.
The logistical nightmare.
It's a logistical nightmare, all of it is.
You have that knowledge now, just I'm moving stuff from point A to point B that happens to be medical stuff, and your focus is on women's issues. His focus is on pediatric.
So let me answer the question, Brody. The question.
So I think the biggest thing that our two organizations kind of cross paths is the diagnostic side. Mm-hmm. So a big problem in CHD is the underdiagnosis issues. There was one cardiologist on staff at this hospital for at least 18 babies, at least. That was just that mission. So that's a lot, that's a big patient to doctor ratio. So the diagnostic process is very important. You know, I was diagnosed after birth, which was not supposed to happen. They were supposed to know I had CHD in the womb.
Wow.
So being able to give the proper technology and diagnostic equipment to clinicians that are scanning mothers is going to be very important for the health of the baby once they're born. So I feel like that is a big issue in underserved populations or distressed areas that don't have access to that diagnostic technology.
So what would you ask Marissa?
But it's working together on maternal health, because obviously we do a lot of maternal health, deploying ultrasounds in low resource settings, which are mobile, which are remote, which are handheld, which is what we're doing in Mexico. We've done it a few other places, is exactly what Brody's saying. If you can find it early, if you can find the problem, then first of all, there's time to come up with a treatment plan for the babies. And there's a time for the parents to also acclimate, to hear your story, Brody, to hear what, you know, that there's hope and there's opportunities and options, which many times if a woman with a diagnosis such as this is probably going to think she's going to lose her baby.
That's right.
What's the likelihood that you, Marissa, would be delivering, that a clinic to which you delivered equipment would be examining the mother of a child who has Brody's condition, or that they treat, or are you in a completely different section?
No, we do maternal health. Yeah, that's general maternal health screenings, and if they are trained well enough and have the right tools, they could absolutely find it. We would just have to do, like, we're not in Honduras yet, and this is where the joint nature, because we do not put our own doctors, you know, in place. We do not create our own clinics. We do not create our own programs.
Sure.
We equip the correct physicians, nurses, midwives, doctors, all of that with the equipment they need to do their job. So quite honestly, if we worked on a deployment together to get the hospitals that Brody's working on, totally. If you want to expand, let's say, into the Jalisco region, you know, in Mexico, which we're about to deploy 10 ultrasounds in, that's an opportunity as well, because they probably, you know, are finding patients, you know, and babies with the condition.
Similar. I've got goosebumps. I'm going to put my glasses on so I don't cry. But this is, I mean, we just found the continuum where you stitch together, right? So you have this maternal health, neonatal health connection, right, Brody? And if there was an opportunity to, let's say, for Brody to go to Ghana and extend the neonate and pediatric tools, and then for you to go into a place that Brody's been and bring those maternal tools, I mean, that right there is a scalable way to help each other, right? I mean, that's pretty incredible.
Sure. Mexico's our 11th country. And Mexico's our 11th country. We have equipment kind of going everywhere.
Sure.
The other thing is using the economies of scale. So one of the things that we've found in how we operate pretty efficiently is we sometimes work with the State Departments to get in diplomatic cargo so that we don't have to pay duty. Or we work with logistics partners that have free shipping or recover that, or other nonprofits and things like that. And so it's important for us to, you know, work together. So maybe they have relationships in certain countries. Maybe we do, to help each other out, because, like, I don't care who gets credit for it. I just want the work done.
Sure.
Okay, hold on. Brody, what were you gonna say?
Yeah.
So first thing I wanted to say was, going back a few minutes ago on the time. So of course, when we diagnose early, before the baby is even born, we have the time. And another thing is, when you think about, I'm going to use Honduras as an example. Let's say they did have these diagnostic tools to say, hey, your baby is going to be born with a congenital heart defect. Okay, they don't have the tools to do that. And even what if they're born in North Honduras, where they don't have that helping Hands for Honduras to do that mission. So now they have the time to consider sending them somewhere else.
Yeah.
So
correct.
That's going to be extremely important, because Helping Hands for Honduras actually started that way, by diagnosing these patients and then sending them to the U.S. to get these surgeries. It wasn't till a few years ago where they started gathering the proper equipment and clinicians to do these procedures.
Let me ask and you, go ahead, Brody, keep going.
One more thing was this hospital that I recently went to was a mother kid hospital. So it was for parents that were about to have a baby. That was the only reason the hospital existed. That was the sole purpose. It wasn't until Helping Hands for Honduras occupied a section for these open heart surgeries.
Wow.
Did you start this thing yourself or no?
Envision MedTech? Yes.
So
it started.
You started as a club, right, in your high school? Is that right? He started his own club to start this company and then propels it into a company.
Your college application
stop it,
itself.
Exactly. Stop it.
What's the Helping Hands for Honduras versus?
Yeah, how did you partner with Helping Hands for Honduras?
Pre-existing.
That's a really cool story. My former nurse.
That's a cool story? Okay. go ahead. Sorry.
So my former nurse she volunteered for Helping Hands for Honduras. She would go there for quarterly mission trips. And when I showed her my idea, it was very early. She was like, I know someone you should talk to. So I got on a call with them and they're like, well, yeah, we can send you what we need. And there was a spreadsheet with about 180 devices. And I said, yeah, we got that. Before we knew what we were doing at all.
Oh, and
it did take a while. It was a bit stressful because I really wanted to support them. And I did the right thing. I reached out to people, saw where I can make connections and start collecting these devices, and was eventually able to get 1,000 different pediatric devices to support.
What did your company do before you ran into the nurse? And by the way, can you put your glasses back on and
please.
Put them back on and show Brody?
Yeah, sorry.
Does he look like a Honduran drug lord?
Get out of here.
Okay. Oh. So what, Brody, what did your company do before you ran into this nurse?
Well, Envision MedTech was not incorporated until we thought of the mission to get
they incorporated in order to accomplish those things.
Okay, but what was your goal when you started the company?
Let's talk about when you started the club. What were you trying to do when you started the club?
So the club was about getting people or students involved in the medical device industry. The business side, R&D, the engineering side, the surgical side, everything with medical devices. There was no
mission. It was just a vision of exposure, right?
Yeah, exactly. So we wanted to allow people to understand what it was, see it as an opportunity. A lot of people think of biomedical engineering and medical devices as, oh, that's just engineering, and it's not. We're sitting here talking about getting the devices into underserved
areas. So hold on, I'm going to interrupt you just to move this along. Sorry. Yeah. We want to be the long-winded ones, not you.
Don't listen to him,
Brady. So you had this idea of starting a club to teach people about biomedical. That sounds great.
How many members in the club when you first set it up?
It started pretty small. This year, it's around 25.
Okay, so now you run into this nurse, and she has an idea that you could put your talents to use by supplying equipment to needy nations. And she directs you to Honduras. And at that point, you now had a mission, and you change from sort of general, let's get together and talk about how great medical devices are and how living through chemicals is good.
To just saving lives.
Lives. But now you had a mission. Is that correct? So she turned you in that direction?
It was more of a personal turn. I started learning about the value of technology through the club. So as I was sharing it in the club, I was realizing how important it was and how a device could be truly life-saving. So I wanted to incorporate that into my own story. So as a CHD patient, I knew that 1 in 110 births had CHD.
So how did you get that going? We're just cutting you off because We have limited time. How did you get that going? How did you actually turn from being given a mission?
There's going to be an anchor on CNN someday.
He's going to be something. I don't know what.
You had a club.
It could be a boat
anchor.
You
had a direction. Now, how did you go to starting to deliver product to Honduras or wherever you deliver it?
Well, a lot of it was getting the product. There was, of course, a shift in my mind where it went from just sharing what the industry is like to how could I help through my story and through my knowledge. And I was posting a lot, I was writing a lot about these devices, and I wanted to help, and I wanted to do the right thing to help patients like me. And that's how it
okay,
started.
We got all that. We're being rude. This is what we get paid for.
not we. There's no
not
we.
We.
There's
no
we.
So how did
over
you get
to
this
you.
Thing
Wait.
Going? How did you get
leave the kid alone. All right, hold on. Let me ask Marissa a question.
Yes.
So, Marissa, what?
A professional podcaster over here. Yeah.
What drew you to Ghana? Why Ghana? Like, specifically, were there connections already? Did you read an article? Would you pick Ghana for?
So two things. It was one of our equipment manufacturers had connections there because they were trying to launch a mobile colposcope, which we actually just did last week with them. This was enabled them to do it because they discovered while it's great to be in the office when you're in the developing world, being in the office is not always where you deliver.
So you
care.
Were working with a for-profit.
For a for-profit manufacturer.
And they had this returns that then
no, these were actually brand new.
They had brand new.
Yeah, so we purchased them as an organization. Her LTQ purchases it. We fundraise, we purchase them, and we deploy them. We've deployed their colposcopes.
How did
locations.
You end up in this business? Maybe I missed that.
Medical devices?
No,
the colposcopes or
No. How did you end up doing the nonprofit work?
I founded it 8 years ago when I was in Costa Rica.
Okay, that's you're in Costa Rica with a for-profit company.
With a for-profit device
company. And your board or decided there was need. You saw need.
No, I was still working in corporate. I do this. This is in addition to my 27.
This
other
is her
jobs.
Hobby, David. This is what she does.
Okay,
out of
so
this is my 27
need.
Other jobs.
She's paying it forward.
So you saw a need. You're working in a for-profit.
Yeah.
You saw a need.
Yeah.
Was the need related to what you were doing?
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
It was mammograms,
100%.
And I developed new mammogram machines. And so we deployed an old mammogram machine.
And she said everyone should get mammograms.
Everyone should be women. You know, just because it's not just breast cancer.
Yeah.
It should be cervical cancer. It should be maternal
health.
Did
your company buy into this and help you supply the equipment?
Just the mammogram machine, that was it.
And then
10 years later, after I started that program, we did fundraising with the support of the company, Hologic. Went back to Costa Rica and deployed 10 colposcopes for the detection of cervical cancer, which is near and dear to their hearts.
Yep.
All not their equipment,
yep.
But it was almost a circle.
Pack.
The
yeah.
same
yeah,
people
yeah, sure.
that started and supported, not the company. I was doing this under a corporation for, you know.
How did they feel, working for a for-profit, how did they feel about you taking time to do what you were doing? Were they thrilled with it?
Every for-profit wants their
corporate social responsibility
to do something that empowers them, enables them. It's great press. It's in, you know, I was a more productive employee. I got the entire Costa Rica facility to go on a walk for breast cancer in Costa Rica, like hundreds of employees to support this. Like, this is a way to get everyone together.
To pay it forward.
And to
everyone.
Pay it forward. You're giving back to a community in which you're working in. That's incredibly important.
What does Hologic do in Costa Rica?
It's their GYN business, so their gynecology business. I went there to manage an acquisition, and it just happened to be just a month before I finished launching the mammography equipment.
How much time of your, during the day, how much time would
not
you allow?
Not much. A lot of it's connecting, and quite honestly, I'm not a logistics person, so I called the logistics manager to handle that. I called the operations director, who I reported to, and I said, great.
So we're doing.
What are we going to do? We called the U.S. Embassy as a, you know, as an expat. I was part of the expat community. I called my friends at the embassy and said, hey, we need this under diplomatic cargo. We joined with a local nonprofit.
What do you do? Does every place that you ship equipment know what to do with it? Because Brody suggests, at least as I understood it, and he was joking, that he tells them how to do the surgeries, but it sounds like they deliver equipment that is above and beyond the capability of the region to which it's delivered. Are you in that position, and how do you handle that?
We are partly in that position, but we provide all training through either our manufacturers or online programs, or we hire somebody to do the training locally in country, which provides jobs locally. We also provide multiple year service because there is no need to ship crap to another country and then it's crap. It's a white elephant. We're not doing that. So we, as an organization, support any service for a minimum of 2 years. We've gone up to 10 years for some other pieces of equipment. And we make sure that, hey, something happens, we're going to send a service tech. Most of the time, it's going to be a local service tech, so it is a job, and most of the time, it's going to be a woman.
So, Brody, how are you getting folks, Brody, how do you deliver, what did you call it, training, what's the word, training? How do you
training and installation.
How do you deliver the training to your
recipients?
Yeah.
So, in our circumstance, the clinicians were flown out from the Mexican Cardiac Institute. So they were trained to use the technology that we provided.
Just didn't have access.
There are some newer technology that we'd like to work with in the future. For example, Renata Medical just had a new stent for pediatrics, the first stent system for pediatrics. It can expand as they grow. So that is a big learning curve. You can't just get, like Marissa said, you can't just give that to a population or a group of people and say, hey, just use this. You can't do that.
Yeah.
You have to have the correct training. And of course, as we get those more complicated devices, we'll have to implement proper training. But as of now, with Helping Hands for Honduras, they have the clinicians that are able to do the procedures.
Jeff, back to your original question about Ghana specifically. Sure. So we chose them because the manufacturers had some, you know, they were working with people. In Ghana very specifically, cervical cancer is a national, there's a national program and there's a national initiative to provide screening and training and, you know, for everybody. Now they have an entire institute. One of the centers completes a multi-stage training. And they have one or two colposcopes from other manufacturers and things like that. The manufacturers are not independent, but, you know, of course we want the best of the best. But they're trained. So there's technicians, midwives, nurses, doctors that have this training, but they don't have the equipment to use. We're the ones that are filling in where that equipment is used. So we picked Ghana because they have this infrastructure in place. They have people who are trained to use it. We do that in many different countries. So same thing, we're going to Mexico. We're working with OBGYNs who are working in maternal health every day, all day. They know how to use an ultrasound. They've been trained on it. We do training very specifically on the specific equipment.
Do they reach out to you or do you find them?
Yes, both.
Okay.
And both.
I have questions. Tucker and Wolf.
Real quick.
Hang on.
What was that? Tucker.
Thank you. That was good.
Tucker and Wolf.
Good. Fundraising model. These things run on money. How do you guys raise money? How much have you raised? What do you need?
And what do you need?
Because tens of people will listen to this thing and
you never know. You never know. You never know.
So it's interesting. We are obviously a registered 501c3 nonprofit. We fundraise. We need money to do this. What we do is there's a few ways. Sometimes we purchase the equipment, we negotiate it at cost. So there's no markup, there's no whatever. Fine.
But there's still cash.
There's still cash that has to go out. Right. There is some cash. You know, sometimes the equipment's donated to us.
So it's in kind.
So something in kind, but we still have to ship it and we still have to train and we still, there's operational costs. Like we still have to run a company too.
Sure.
So there's that. We did toy with the idea of having a secondary model where we almost would be nonprofit, semi-distributors. That was before the pandemic. Everything kind of slid back to the original because I don't believe in giving things away for free and it doesn't get used.
Yeah.
And that's a really big problem.
That would be insanity making.
Correct, but it happens. So, you know, what we do is every quarter, we require every site that has our piece of equipment to report metrics to us.
Love
because
it.
If they're gonna say zero, A, you've either eradicated the entire problem, which right. I doubt that you have,
or
B, it's broken, or C, you're not using it, and I don't like to move equipment if we don't have to,
sure.
but tell me why,
yep.
and why it's not being used, and to say you're saving it, our line is, if you use it so much that you,
we'll you
use the useful life of it, yeah. we'll get you another one. That
love
is the best
yeah, yeah.
problem for
please,
us to
please
have.
Please break it, yeah.
But, right. but the other thing that we have also, and we will go back to this, is a revenue sharing model,
okay.
which I think is incredibly important for certain types of industries and countries where we will give you the equipment.
Yep.
But you are charging your patient.
Yeah,
but you're charging your patient because most of the time you are charging your patients
yep.
for use for these extra services.
Service, right.
So whether it's a dollar, okay, until you pay back the value of the equipment,
yep.
we 50-50, 40-60, whatever it happens to
right.
be.
So you've got
to
have a value.
You own it outright. It's yours.
All right. Brody, how do you do this?
Yep.
Yeah.
So a lot of our costs are also operational. We have a 501c3. We haven't, all of our devices so far have strictly been donations.
Hmm.
So we've had catheters, Foley catheters, IVs, all these smaller devices specifically for pediatric patients. They've all been donated. Hmm. We still need to ship out the devices, of course, but as we get into bigger or more complex, more expensive devices, diagnostic tools, that's going to be out of the company's wallet. So we do want to purchase those from vendors, and then we want to get them into the populations we need to get them.
How are you
going to
get the money?
Fundraising. We're supposed to have our first fundraiser next year in 2025, but just so far we've done word of mouth.
And wow. what we do as well, we partner with a lot of corporations that have money because, listen, they have CSR goals,
right.
to be clear. Like, so we partner with companies to give, like, they give us money to support, you know, the project we're doing.
Right, correct.
Maybe they have a factory in Mexico. Maybe they have operations.
Right.
And they're like, you know what? I'd like to give back to the population. They don't care what we're necessarily doing, but
sure.
they want the PR and they want the press and they want, you know, they want
the tax write-off.
Sure. They want all of these things. So they're going to support that project, even though there is not a direct benefit to them. So we've gone down the route of doing a lot of corporate partners. So if there's any corporate partners out there that want to hear about what we're doing,
they're probably not listening.
Or individuals.
Sure, but you're providing an avenue for those. You're providing an avenue for those corporate partners to do well with.
Yeah,
their company,
and they
right?
can
I mean,
say that they did this work. I don't care.
Yeah,
like we don't care.
It's not about credit.
It's not.
Do you get connected? I have another question for Brody, but do you get connected directly to the patients who are affected? I mean, this is a huge part of the industry is you get to see the final outcome. You hear the stories of the child that was born, the life that was saved. Do you get any of that?
We get some of that, and we're starting to get a lot more of it. It depends on our partners on the ground and getting their stories. Quite honestly, I can't get the story of 3 million women.
Yeah.
You know, it's
sure.
it's every individual one. But
right.
yeah, we definitely have some patient stories, and we continue to get it.
Yep.
It's also a little easier sometimes with pediatrics because it's their parents telling the story, not the babies telling the story.
That's fair.
And also as we're doing, it's, you know, for us, a lot of it's volume.
Sure.
So
we need a lighter point here.
We do.
Did you see X-Men?
I have seen the X-Men.
Remember
series,
when they
sure.
sit in that room
yeah.
with on the bridge?
Sure.
They, never oh, and they hear all the voices at once.
Yes.
That's what she needs.
This is right. That's
did
perfect.
You see X-Men?
No,
I
it's Evan Almighty where he becomes God for a day and he's hearing all the prayers.
Yeah.
That's what
oh.
it feels like. Brody, I got to ask you a question.
It's like
you know,
the waiting
this is
room at McLean's over here.
Brody knows this is a Boston-based podcast, yet he has a picture of the Bambino in the corner of the screen here. Is that personal? Why are you kind of poking at us here? What's going on?
So, as a kid, I played a lot of baseball.
As
and
a kid?
But aren't you still a kid? You're still a kid.
No, he's far from a kid. He's far from a kid.
Go ahead,
we
got to
get over that.
Excuse
here.
David.
So,
keep going.
Babe Ruth's quote was, "Never let the fear of striking out get in your way." So that applies to everything in my life. So I'm showcasing it here, whether you are a Yankee fan or a Red Sox fan.
Wow.
I don't follow much baseball anymore.
That's fair.
I stopped playing, I believe I was 11.
Okay.
But still, that picture sits there.
Very
As
cool.
you can see, I have more biking pictures.
Those are patents that you've written? What's going on there?
So, yeah, I do a lot. I used to do, or I still do. I do a lot of mountain biking.
Okay, all right. I thought he was going to say patenting, but sure. Okay, so you like to ride bikes. What is the stethoscope there? What does that remind you of?
Anyone can do it.
Who spends any time on that? It's a complete waste.
Was given to me at the Harvard Medical School Moonshot Program.
Okay.
And then the robot is Verb Surgical Cloth.
Mark was in that, by the way.
Yeah, very cool. Hey, I like it.
Can we be more critical here?
Sure, sure.
How much the tax credits help you a ton or not at all, Marissa?
They're not our tax credits.
No, not yours. But do they help you get, given where the equipment is coming from, do tax credits help a ton or are they really not that helpful?
They do, because every corporation is required by law to make charitable donations. Depending on where they go, they could just write a check to the American Red Cross, or they could donate equipment in kind, whatever. They have to offset their their tax,
so
they do this, and so that's what happens. Is it's a good selling point. All corporations have to do it in some form. We just are one avenue for them to do that.
And how are we connecting with these OEMs? Brody, you first. How are you reaching out to get these donations of equipment and other things? Are you doing phone banks with your 25 club members? Are you reaching out on the phone constantly or writing letters?
Is this Jerry Lewis telephone joke?
How are you getting these thousand pieces of equipment?
Do you know who Jerry Lewis is?
Of course I know who Jerry Lewis is.
You know who Jerry Lewis is.
I know.
Okay. Do you know who Jerry Lewis is?
I don't.
Huh. That's okay. That's all right. We're not going to hold it against you, but David's just dating himself. Thank you.
Yeah, that's okay. I can do that.
Go ahead, Brody. Tell me.
Angry old man.
How are you?
Not so old woman.
We're renaming this to the curmudgeon show.
There was a question in there, Brody. Answer it.
Right.
Pick one.
A lot of the way we get our devices is through the hospitals themselves.
Okay.
I have personal connections to Nicholas Children's, Palms West, just because of my medical history.
Yep.
A new plan that I've recently come up with, it hasn't been acted on quite yet. I have a story to share with my medical history. I love to make the parents especially feel hopeful with their kid. It's so hard to see your baby in a CICU. We just had open heart surgery at 2 weeks old. It's so hard for the parent. And I love to share my story and really deliver hope in that way. So that comes into play with Envision MedTech, because it's hard to get into the door of a hospital.
Yep.
So by getting into the CICU and sharing the story, I can also say, hey, where's the supply chain coordinator? I have a few questions for them. So
This could be a medical device sales.
I know. Hold on. What are the other 25 members of the club doing at the moment? What, I mean, do you have like a operations manager?
They're playing Fortnite.
Yeah.
I think they're selling lemonade.
Yeah.
The club itself, we are going to do a school drive.
Okay.
So when I go to Honduras,
they're on a Discord right now.
Yeah.
One of the main things that we noticed were that we donated medical devices, right? Supplies. Mm-hmm. But basic things like diapers and pacifiers, there were no pacifiers in the ICU at all. Yep. Babies were crying. It was rough to see.
You could play this podcast for them and they would go right asleep.
That's true.
Brody, I hope this isn't your first podcast experience. No. Good luck to you.
It's going
to
ruin them. It's going to ruin them.
Don't ever do a podcast therapy again.
Oh my God.
Keep going.
Go ahead.
So we want to utilize the school's resources and the student body to get those more lower level devices donated. I mean, the pacifier is a medical device, the diaper is a medical device. So let's get those donated. And then on our next mission trip in November, we want to supply the parents with those things and allow them to have a more peace of mind and, they're crying, of course. Just those things are
he's providing a complete solution. They're looking at all the needs that this patient and their families are going to have, and they're providing for them. This is amazing. Your story has inspired me. I'm going to spend less time on the couch watching TV.
He's going to go home and eat a McDonald's hamburger.
No, I don't eat McDonald's.
Don't worry, Brody. You have not ruined him. he's still a complete waste.
I mean, it's just the fact of the matter. I mean, listen, obviously I'm not super old, but not super young. The fact of the matter is, 17-year-old has created this.
Yeah.
is, I mean, this is our future.
It's astounding.
This is the future of this industry. This is the future of giving. This is the future that, like, the second that I heard about it, and obviously, you know,
it gives me hope for humanity.
A little hope for humanity, but the fact of the matter is, like, you also have 25 people in your club that are caring about this. Like, this is a big deal.
Fortnite.
Yeah. Like, this is just like a big realization that there are people that are, like,
doing good.
Brody, why didn't you just go decide to make money instead of doing this? Wouldn't that be more fun?
Because he's 17.
Because he's going to college and he will.
Oh, yeah. True. You will.
He can do both at the same time, just like I do.
But did you give some thought to just making money instead of donating your time, like lawyers do all the time?
I've been in positions where I've been able to make money before. I've started some small businesses with coaching for biking, things like that. And this was just, there's no money that could pay back. Like, the feeling you get of seeing your devices being used in the ICU and in the OR, that's better than money. At least so far. I said that at 17.
It's hard work. No, it'll continue. It will continue for the rest of your life.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's part of you.
Whoa. You are a role model for your peers, Brody. We really appreciate you telling us this story.
No, Elon Musk would really like to talk to you.
Elon Musk doesn't hold a stick to Brody in my book. So
how do you two work together moving forward?
We will connect and make that happen, especially because we know all the same people.
Okay.
Yeah. So, Brody, can you... go ahead. You have a real question.
I was going to say, do you have a real question? Do you have an ask, Brody? Do you have something that you need from the audience? Let's say, whether it's a college application or a donation or a device you're looking for.
And before you put too much time in the answer into thinking about this, we only have two or three people who listen to it, and you're looking at them right now.
It's okay.
Oh, I don't listen.
Yeah. Okay, sorry. There's like one person.
I'm already here. I can hear it in real time.
You can just pretend you're talking to me because I'm the only person who will hear this again.
But we're listening.
So the biggest, if you are a nurse or supply chain, anything like that, we need those pediatric medical devices.
Okay.
If they're used, that's okay. In the U.S., the FDA sets limits on the use, but other places around the world, they can be used. And if they're fine, they'll use them. If not, they have nothing. And something is better than nothing. So we do need those pediatric devices, and then of course the fiscal, we want to be able to pay for those higher level devices, like stents and diagnostic equipment, things like that.
All right, Marissa, awesome. What's your ask besides to get the hell out of here?
Well, yeah,
I mean, that's number
dudes.
One. Make my train. Number two, I think I hear it. Yeah, so obviously two things very similar to Brody. We're looking for donations of equipment, so ECGs and EKG for heart disease, of course mammograms, but also ultrasounds. And also corporate partners who are looking to support on a bigger scale around the world some of these programs that we have to help women, because when you help women, they are way more productive in society, in your companies, and also your employees are really just excited and feel good about working where they work. And that's what we want to do. I'm in corporate. I know how this works.
Yeah.
I know when you do something and you support another mission, you want to stay there. And it's a lot of money to retrain employees, to be clear, and let them be healthy, happy and healthy there. So
Brody, you're a good writer or a not so good writer?
I used to be a terrible writer.
Well, how are you now? Are you still terrible or are you good?
No, I've definitely gotten a lot better. In 10th grade, I started writing.
Short answer. This is just a run-up.
How resilient are you really?
Okay. I am a better writer now, yes.
Okay, you know what a paragraph is. They teach you that in Florida.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
It's not in the book.
That's a serious question. Jeff asked me to ask it.
Oh, God.
In one paragraph, summarize what we learned today. This will be on your. This is your college quiz right now.
Is the essay.
Harvard will be looking at this. In one paragraph, summarize all the nuggets you heard today.
I could give you a sentence.
Oh,
I feel like that.
Oh, I think he's setting us up.
He's one up again.
All right, let him talk.
Go ahead. We're listening, Brody.
The same question to you. So conjure up a
thought. We have people talking about making the future a better place and serving people that really need to be served.
Mic drop. Can I drop this expensive mic now?
I love it.
Please don't.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, Marissa, okay, over to
we
you.
Need a little more skepticism in their answer.
No, I actually have no skepticism. It's if we work together, we can change the world and improve people's health and their lives.
Wow. Thank you.
Without the three of you.
I got it. Yeah, thank you.
No, we just, these two, I'm actually useful.
I'm going to tie an anchor on this whole thing.
This podcast is protecting the world. Because it, as it gets beamed out into space, the aliens realize there's no intelligent life.
Exactly.
So we are doing our job.
Yes, I agree.
We are doing useful stuff.
Okay, we're gonna wrap this up. Yeah, you guys are both doing great stuff.
I have to say that. Yeah, on behalf of Tucker and Wolf, I really appreciate it.
Oh my goodness.
You can look up the reference later.
Can Jeff, can you put your glasses on more time?
Yeah, so for sure.
Okay, ready? Hold on. Can you show Brody? All right, Brody. Is that cool?
Brody, I think, you know, I've gotten goosebumps three times while recording today. I just think this is an amazing thing that you're doing here.
For that.
I hope that my children, I've got four children, I hope they even pursue a fraction of what you've been able to accomplish by the time you're 17. And I'm so inspired. I'm going to go out and do something better with my day. I appreciate you joining us today. And Marissa, thank you so much for being here ahead of your train. This is the last minute this came together perfectly. The logistics worked out. And I also want to thank our host. And I'm not going to break any HIPAA laws by saying this, but Rachel was also affected by heart issues as a baby and had surgery. And I'm sure she's right along with this mission.
She's also on the board of Her Healthy Q.
She is. She's on the board of Her Healthy Q. She's the COO of Mass Medic. I just want to thank her for hosting today. This has been awesome.
Okay, so Brody, Mark and I are going to have a martini and a McDonald's hamburger when this is over. And we're going to celebrate the fact that somebody's doing something useful.
Thank you.
Wonderful.
Thanks, Brody.
Thanks for being here, Brody.